You know, man, I really want to just communicate God's word this morning, just from a very clear place. We've been in this series on the parables, and we're kind of taking a detour from that, as I would love to preach on the Good Samaritan this morning. That's where we were headed a week and a half ago. We're going to really talk about the Good Samaritan, and just I had it all planned out. Now we're going to rearrange some different things. And as we are a church that from the very beginning has built a foundation. One of our foundation blocks of this church is to build strong families. Because I see that in Scripture, and I see that that is one of the ways as the church, as believers, followers of Christ, that we could be the brightest light is to have marriages that honor and glorify God. And we're a church that our website and everything that we print has a logo on it that says, Live Out Truth. Man, in my study of the Good Samaritan and going over the parables and different things where my heart really wanted to preach this morning, I just felt where God really was leading me this morning was to really get into our Supreme Court's decision in regards to how they have redefined marriage. Folks, this isn't a surprise to New York. We've had it this way for over 2 years. But in a foundation on God's Word, we look at what God says about building strong families. Amen. When you understand in our community and in this region and around the world how the enemy has got in there and just destroyed what it is to be a husband and a wife in marriage. I'm talking about husband and wife in marriage where we see so much separation. We see so much hurt and broken in marriage. We see so much divorce. How the enemy has just got... We see so many kids walking away from God. We see so many kids walking in such horrifying abuse in a home. And we see this over and over. And where is the church in regards to building a strong marriage and a strong relationship with Christ and with a husband and a wife? Trust me, I would love to preach on the Good Samaritan. But if we are a church that literally stands on this as our foundation, folks, if we are a people that truly have come to a place to confess Christ as Lord, and we've come to a place, say, Jesus, you are Lord. I understand what it is to be separate from you because of sin. And Jesus, you put yourself willingly on a cross for me and you took the hit for me. And in that, I can be free from my sin and have a place eternally with you because of what you have done based on your mercy, your grace, and your love for me. How amazing is that? In that, I submit myself to you and I put myself under you and I confess that you are Lord. You are supreme. You are all authority. And you're what you're saying, please hear this. Please hear this. You're saying, I put myself under you, therefore I agree. King, we are in this sense of people who want to redefine marriage. And honestly, what breaks my heart the most is there are people who have professed to follow Christ come to a place to applaud this and celebrate this. Folks, you look at this, man. Come on, you look at this. Seriously, I have wept over this. How much have you wept over this? How much have you come to a place to see how the enemy... Gang, the Bible says, man, we don't struggle. We don't fight against flesh and blood. This is a very serious, serious battle. And listen, please understand this right off the top of this message. We all swim in the same pond, folks. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Please don't category sin in some different category. Oh, look at them. Please, gang, understand this right off the top of this message. This isn't us against them. They are not our enemy. Ones who walk in that lifestyle, ones who the enemy has brought into some great deceit, who has blinded the eyes. Man, we're not in this place to say us against you. We're not in this place to say you're my enemy. Man, our hearts should break for them in a sense to say, God, that you would move. God, that they would turn. That there will be a day that there are brothers and sisters in Christ. Gang, we've got to understand this, how serious this is for us as a church, that we're not going to be that church that holds the signs like the religious haters and just condemns and bashes and just brings nothing but hate. Stand on some street corner with a sign, says some awful things on a sign, thinking they're being a God. Come on. But we're also not going to be a people come to church and raise your hands and say, oh, I love you, Jesus, and I've confessed you as Lord. But then when you see something like this, you come to a place and say, oh, that's wonderful, good for you. Oh, we applaud that. Again, you just can't do that. We live in a society, I don't have Facebook, I don't have Twitter. We live in a society where the social media has opened up for everyone to believe they are entitled to their opinion and everyone else's business. Please hear that. Because this morning, honestly, this isn't Republican, this isn't Democratic, this isn't conservative. Listen, that's not it at all. Because we fall into some line and think, well, because I'm Republican, I have to believe this. Or because I'm Democratic, I have to believe this. Or maybe I'm a conservative, therefore I have to believe. What about what God says? What about we ditch all that and say, how about the only opinion that matters is one? And it's not a panel of 9 unelected officials, folks. Please hear this. If anyone is surprised by this, where have we been? This is, the church isn't supposed to go into a big panic. The church isn't supposed to be all crazy. Listen, there has been the fall of the land since the Garden of Eden, folks. You hear it all the time, man. Sin separated us from God, and it started in the garden. And please know this, man. Every single one of us swam in the same pond of sin. And our hearts should break, that our eyes would be open to the truth. Gang, this is why we're such a church that's after hearts. We're such a church after those who are lost, hurting, and broken. After those, but we do know that the eyes of them have been blinded and deceived by the greatest liar of all in Satan. And we understand the serious battle that's before us. And we come to a place as a church who truly believes God's word is it. That we have come to a place to say, I've confessed it, you, Lord, therefore I agree. Sometimes that's so tough. We're talking about people who we know have chosen this lifestyle. People that we love, people in our families, people that we work with, people in our neighborhood, people that are just like, they are the sweetest, kindest, most creative. They are just beautiful people. And then you have to come to a place, folks, this is what makes it so tough, is we know people like, and we have to come to a place to say, but God's opinion is this. So what do we do about this? Where do we come to a place to say, God, what do you say about this? Because if I've truly come to a place that I've confessed you, Christ is Lord, and you are the King, that's not a prayer and a raised hand in a book. This is the thing where you come to a place, say, God, I get it. I'm separate from you because of my sin. Jesus, what you did for me. And I come to that place to confess. The word confess means I make an agreement that you are supreme, that you are Lord, and I put myself under you in all of your authority. Therefore, whatever you say, I agree. And therefore, guess what? My opinion is only the opinion of one. Because there's only one opinion that matters, folks. And it's the creator of the universe opinion. And as hard as it is to stand, well, how do I do that when I have loved ones? How do I do that when I work with people? How do I do that when it's this person or this person? How do I do that when I'm so close to this person? You still have to come to a place to say, this is what God said. It's only his opinion that matters, and we're going to function from a place of grace, from love, from compassion. We're going to function from a place that when you understand this isn't a battle us against them. We've got to just, this is what social media has done. This is what the media has done. They caused it a battle, this against this, and they think there's this raging war between this person and this side, the Republicans versus the Democrats. And it's just ridiculous, folks, when you come to a place, say, it's not my opinion that matters, and it's not us against them. When you understand all have sinned and fall short, your heart should break, and it should hurt for those who are so desperate and so lost, and a blinded, so deeply blinded into something that is so not of God. So where's our hearts in this? God, we're not angry about this. We're not at war about this. We are standing on the side of God. Now listen, gang, this isn't a new problem. People are acting like this the first. Are you kidding me? This has been going on for thousands and thousands. And this issue has been going on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And the church just woke up this week and thought this was the first time issue. And this is something that, I mean, dealt with for thousands of years. And God has not once changed his mind on the matter, folks. I'm asking you to clue into this thing all the way to the end, because we're going somewhere this morning. We're going somewhere this morning. And I need you in this message the whole way, please. Don't check out because of certain verses. Don't check out because of what we're going to read. I need you in this message all the way to the end, please. You need to hear this, please. Please ask God to bless our time. Father, we need you. Your word is supreme, God. Your word is everything. It is life. It is truth. It is alive. It is powerful. It is effective. God, we stand our ground in your word, God. God, I pray that our eyes would see this morning. Only your opinion matters. And for us who truly understand what it is to confess Christ as Lord and Savior, God, that we could come to a place just to say we agree with God. We agree with you, Lord. God, you give us grace and you give us mercy. And we see your mercy on us. We all have sinned. We see your patience on us. We see your love for us. We see your grace for us, God. Oh, God, that we would imitate that for all who deal with sin. Father, please speak to us today from your word. God, pinpoint this message to every heart. Please, God, every heart that's here, pinpoint this message to our lives, to our hearts. As a church who so desperately wants to build marriages that honor and reflect you, that want to live out what you've said is truth. Folks, I do ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, speak to me today. God, I need to hear this today. God, at the end of this, we respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's turn to two places, please. Genesis 19 and Romans 1. Genesis 19 and Romans 1. Folks, what you see in Hebrews 13:4, the Bible says this, that marriage is to be held in honor among all. Please hear this. Marriage, God's design plan for husband and wife. Marriage is to be held in honor. That is to be put into a place of honor. Something that is, that word honor here, please hear this. It means something that is valuable. Something that is priceless. Something that is so costly, you can't put a price. That's what God says about marriage. And God defines marriage as a husband and a wife, a male and a female, right from the very beginning of creation. But it says this, marriage is to be held in honor into a the top shelf, man, the place of something that is so, so valuable that it has no price to it. Marriage is to be held in that place of honor among all. For the marriage bed is to be pure, it's to be undefiled. For fornicators, that's immorality, and adulterers, God will judge. That's Hebrews 13:4. When you understand that verse right there, one verse, it says, listen, marriage, the way God set it up, is something so priceless and valuable. He said, but there's a way to devalue that relationship. It's through immorality and it's through adultery. And Genesis 2 says this. I want you to see this. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Listen, gang, this is Genesis 2. This is the very beginning of creation. Look at what God does here. See how powerful this is. When you understand the creator of the universe set this thing to be. The creator of the universe set this thing together. He said, listen, it's not good for man to be alone. He's talking about Adam. He says this. What did he do? I will make him a helper suitable for him. And this word suitable here, it means that which is appropriate. Listen, people say, well, you know, dog is man's best friend. Well, God didn't create a four-legged animal. Praise God for that. That's good news. That's something that was appropriate or suitable for man. What did he create, folks? From the very beginning of creation, God created a female. He created a woman. That was appropriate for a man. Why? It's not good for man to be alone. So God says, okay, let's fix this. Let's put a woman by his side. A woman, a man's features are this. A woman's features are this. And God, isn't it amazing? God created such as so appropriate for one another that all parts fit together in a way that God has designed the human body to function. God says that's the natural way. God says that's appropriate. God says that's the way He created husband and wife. It's a united marriage. So what happens, folks? Because there's so many that will try to debate a lifestyle of a gay lifestyle, and they'll try to throw in thoughts that says, well, there's no biblical grounds to be against homosexuality. The Bible doesn't even, I've heard this, mind-blowing. The Bible doesn't even mention it. Look at this, Genesis 19, please. Verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, bowed down to his face to the ground. Gang, we are looking at God's opinion on this, please. Only his opinion matters. Because there's so much momentum in this. And there's so many different opinions going around. We've got to just, honestly, we've got to come to a place to clean the plate and come back to a place as the foundation of God's Word. God, what do you say about that? Doesn't matter what this person says. It doesn't matter what those who say, oh, the Supreme Court's the highest court in the land. Gang, can you please hear me on this? God is the highest court in all the land of all the universe that sits on a throne of all power and all authority that one day will judge all man. That is the highest court of all mankind, folks. So it's not a panel of nine unelected officials that now are making state law for all states. It's just crazy. But people say, well, it's the law of the land. It's the highest court in the land. Gang, fact is this, they're not the highest court in the land. Fact is, God Almighty, who sits on a throne, is the highest court in all the land. So we've got to get this. So we come to a place, and I'm talking to the church, man. I'm talking to the believers in this place to say, yes, all I want is God's opinion. I wish somebody would tell me what God thinks. This is what God says, folks. And he said, now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house. This is the two angels, two male angels that came to Lot's house. And spend the night, wash your feet, then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, however, no, but we shall spend the night in the square. But he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered the house and prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now look at this, verse 4, this is huge. Before they lay down, the men of the city, get this, the men of Sodom surrounded the house, both young and old, and all the people from every quarter. Now get this, they called a lot and said to them, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. Bring them out to us, the men with men, so that we may have sex with them. Look at this. But Lot went out to meet them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Look what Lot calls it. Don't act wickedly. Now, behold, I have two daughters. This is just crazy to me. I don't even get this, folks. Honestly, as your pastor, I don't get this. How is this man about to offer up his two virgin daughters to this group of men who are about to rape other men? I don't get this. I honestly have studied and gone deep, but I just can't wrap my mind around it. This is one that God's saving. The angels are there to drag them out. It's just crazy to me. He's about to offer up his two virgin daughters to these crazy sex fiend men. God says they refused that and they pressed even harder to get to the men. There are those who will tell you, well, homosexuality wasn't an issue at Sodom. Well, that's what kind of was. Look at Genesis 18. This is what God says about it. Verse 20. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great. This is what he talks about, their sin. Their sin is exceedingly grave. Look at Jude 7, what it says about Sodom and Gomorrah. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since in the same way, look at this, they indulged in a gross immorality. Immorality is a sexual sin. They indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. They exhibited as an example of undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. And when you see where this comes from, this is not a new issue, folks. You can't come to a place to try to debate God on this. You and me could sit down. We could have an amazing debate on free will or predestination. We could have an awesome debate on spiritual gifts and tongues or no tongues. We could have an amazing debate on eschatology, on what is going to take place at the end times, whether there's a rapture or not. This we could go into Scripture and have an incredible debate. But this issue, gang, there is not a second side to this. And we have to come to a place that, God, either I am going to cheer on what you have called as what you have said is wickedness, or God, I'm going to stand by and say, God, I need to. As hard as it is, because of our friends and family, people that we love and know, as hard as it is, God, I still have to side with what you say. Because you look at Leviticus 18 and it says this. You shall not lie with a male as one who lies with a female. It is an abomination. You know what the word abomination means? It means it is a detestable act. It is disgusting, God says. Leviticus 20, verse 13. There's a man who lies with a male, as those who lie with a woman. Both of them have committed a detestable act, same word as abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Now look at this. Please hear this. Obviously, knowing that we all have sinned, we're not being throwing stones. But gang, when we get this picture from John 8, where Jesus Christ, they bring the woman that's caught in adultery in John 8 to Jesus. Now listen, understand this. Adultery was a stonable offense, folks. And Jesus says this. He says, listen, I am not going to condemn you, but he says this, go and sin no more. We're not going to put you to death. We're not going to throw the rocks. But he does this, amazing, which we miss this. He says, listen, this is wrong. This is sin. It is punishable by death, but things are changing. And when Jesus showed up, things changed, folks. There is grace and there is mercy and there's compassion. And you come to a place to see this amazing picture in this story where Jesus said, listen, I'm not going to condemn you, but we're not going to compromise either. He says, go and don't do it anymore. It's sin. We have to look at this. We see in 1 Corinthians 9, go back to the New Testament, from Jude 7 to 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, that is a male prostitute, or nor homosexuals. And people say, well, it's not even mentioned in Scripture. And here, I need to make something clear, because this word homosexual here, it means sodomite, which comes from Sodom. And the literal translation, you can read this even in different versions. You can read the literal translation of this is men who abuse themselves with other men. The abusers of self with men. You look at 1 Timothy. Immoral men, homosexuals, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. Folks, you have to look at this and say, God, what is your opinion on this? Because what I'm telling you, man, what breaks my heart is for those who have been blinded and those for all sin, folks. For all sin. Man, it is our desire for those to come into this place who are broken and hopeless, for those who don't yet know Christ Jesus, Lord, don't understand walking in sin, don't get what it is to be separate from God, but they come to a place to realize, man, in my sin, I need Savior. I need Jesus. Jesus died for me. Gang, we want that over and over and over. We want people to come to a place. Man, I'm telling you what, I am wept over this because people are so blind to this, and it's so many people that we know and we love, which at times could give us a tendency to applaud this and cheer for this. Which honestly, when it comes down to the fact that it's not about Republican, it's not about politics, it's not about Democratic, it's not about conservative, it's about God's opinion, and that is it, gang. When you can wipe all that out, you look at what God says. And as a follower of Christ, when one who has said, I truly have come to a place to confess that you are Lord, and therefore I come to a place to say, I agree. Again, when you have such a clear picture of what God's opinion is on this, as a Church of Believers chapel that says we are here to build strong families and strong relationships, man, that is our goal. We're in a place to understand what it is to live in a way that truth is revealed. Last place on this is Romans. Romans 1 is one of the clearest pictures. It's been pretty clear, but this is another clear picture. And he says this in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Listen, folks, I'd have loved to have preached on the Good Samaritan today. But we cannot be a church that won't stand for truth. We cannot be. We can't be a church that raises their hand in worship to declare that God is the one true living God. Not stand on something that He makes so crystal clear. We can never celebrate sin. That which Jesus Christ put Himself on a cross for, how do we celebrate it? How do we think it's okay? He says this, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." We see the word wrath of God here, folks. And it doesn't mean that it's an outburst of God's anger for someone that He doesn't like. It's not like our anger at times and we just come right hard and quick because of something that went wrong. When it's talking about the wrath of God, this is a predetermined plan for those who have rejected God. At the end of the road, man, when judgment really comes, the wrath of God will be revealed to those who have turned and said no thanks over and over and over again. How is it that we come to a place to worship our King and our Savior and our Lord and declare over and over? I mean, even this morning in worship again, just, I am saved, man. God, I am saved. Jesus, You died for me that I am free from sin. I recognize my place, but I am saved. I am free. Again, when you understand what the word saved means, it's a word sozo, and it means safe or rescued. Well, what are we safe from? What did Jesus rescue us from, folks? It's the wrath of God that we were rescued from, that we will never face that eternal damnation, that punishment, because of those who have turned their back and rejected God altogether and said no. So He's not talking about some outburst of anger. He's talking about when you come to the end of the day for those who have truly rejected truth. What happens when there's a serious consequence and no one ever talks about the consequence, folks? We come to a place in this, it says this. Verse 19, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and the foolish of their heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God, the incorruptible God, for an image and form of corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed animals and the crawling creatures." Look at this, verse 24. "Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, impurity, so that their bodies would be," look at what he says, "dishonored among them." How? What's he talking about here? He talks about creation. He talks about that which He created. How is it that we use our bodies which God created? Husband, wife, male, female. Not good for man to be alone. So He created one that is suitable or one that really comes to a place to fit with the man. And He didn't make another Adam, folks. This is where He creates woman. And this is the absolute first amazing marriage that God put together as a husband and a wife. "For you shall leave your father and mother and be joined to your wife, and the two shall become one flesh, and they are both naked and unashamed." That's God's amazing picture for marriage. Marriage is to be held in a place of honor and value above all, among all. Now look at this. This is what He says. You got to get this. Verse 25, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature," that's man, "rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason," again, God gave them over to, look what He says, "the degrading passions. For their woman exchanged the natural," here it goes back to creation, "the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and buried it in the desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind Now look at this, to do those things which are not proper. Folks, he only mentions one thing here, folks. Woman on woman and man on man. So what's God's opinion on this? You come to a place to say it's so clearly defined. So in the brokenness of our heart, man, in a place that we are so desperate for people, because people need Jesus, folks. People need the Lord. We've all come to a place to need Jesus. Every one of us. Everyone that has breath needs Christ. Anyone that has breath comes from sin. Every one of us, folks. So where's our heart in this? Do we honestly come to a place as some applaud? I mean, I heard the women's conference was amazing, and there's 10,000 strong in worship of God, how powerful that was. And at the same time it's letting out, there's this parade celebrating this decision of 1,000 that are just doing what they do in front of this amazing. You know what was on the press? Was it the 10,000 women worshiping God of all creation? Or was it just the 1,000? What's celebrated today, folks? And honestly, out of 10,000, you would expect. And this is what I've heard, that many, maybe over 100, were outside in that parade clapping and applauding and thinking this was a great freedom in New York, or in the States, in this country. How do you go from worship the Creator who created male and female to be natural to then go celebrate what God clearly says is wrong? Folks, any sin. We cannot be a people who celebrate sin. We're not going to be a people who are angry over this. We're not going to be people who choose, well, these are our enemies. And this, listen, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is a very spiritual battle against the enemy who hates mankind, and he hates God. And when we see it, please get this. This is where we're going this morning. When we see this morning, of what God set up for your marriage, the enemy hates that. He hates that. Ephesians 5 says this. I want you to see this, because this is it, folks. What is it that we can do about this? What is it that we can do about this? For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Get this. Watch this now. When God takes husband and he takes wife and he joins them together, and the husband is loving his wife as Christ loved the church, and the wife is respecting her husband just as she does the Lord, and they come in this place to follow God's word. Gang, this, please hear this. This is the amazing picture that God set up. He could have used anything to represent Christ in the church. He could have used anything or any relationship for a male and for the world to see a great picture of what it is to be with Christ. And he chose marriage because he says this: man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, two shall become one flesh, and the mystery is great. He says, I'm speaking in reference to Christ and the church. God Almighty, the great creator of husband and wife, created marriage, that which is to be full of love, joy, and peace, love and respect, a lifetime commitment to a vow, to be an amazing picture that the world could see that they could have with Christ. I look at this and my heart breaks. Just in tears this week to think how we have failed. Failed. In a sense of marriage in the church. You can look at the stats. You can get into all this stuff. I'm not a huge stat guy. But they're not in favor of how to do it right in the church, folks. And I look at this, and I believe this is the greatest way. The greatest way to show the world what it is to be with Christ is between a husband and a wife. The greatest way to battle something in regards to a court decision or where the enemy, again, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. They're not our enemies. We are begging God that there will be a day that there will be our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're begging God that eyes are open to the truth, that there would be a true sense of repentance and belief in the gospel, a true sense of surrender to the word and to who Jesus Christ is in our lives. And we come to a place to say, man, I can be that light. Me and my wife, Renee, and I can walk in such a way of love and respect, walk in such a way that, man, it will be light and it will be a picture of what they can have with Christ and not with sin. Gang, that is so real. And I think we have so failed. And there's so stupid people. They hold up their stupid signs, degrading and defaming, and they want to just throw these insults back and forth, and they think that this is a battle against flesh. Wouldn't it be amazing? As a church today and as a married couple today, that we'd function from a place to say it's so much further than us. It's so much more important than just us. It goes way past us. But God, you set it up for Renee and I to walk in such a way that people could see us and our love and respect. He'd see us and our marriage, and they would desire that, and they could have that with you. What an amazing picture, folks, that would be. I think it's the brightest light that the church can be today, is to have the strongest marriages between a husband and a wife, and do it in such a way that there truly is love, joy, and peace, that you're truly raising up godly, God-fearing kids. Please, please teach your kids, folks. Please teach your kids that, listen, this isn't what God says about this. Don't listen to what the school says about this. Don't listen to what the news says. Don't listen to what your friends say about this. This, you're in my home, and as for me in my house, we are going to serve God, and we're going to come to a place to follow Him and look at this. Like, this is what God says. Yeah, but this person's this, or dad, my friend is this, and I know how hard it is, and I just, but we have to come to a place to side with God on this. Gang, you've got to understand, we got to get past this thing where it is difficult, because I know this person and they're so kind and they're so friendly, and I know that this is family, and I know that this is a brother or a sister, I know that this is, and we could go right down the line of all the people that we love that may struggle with this temptation, and you come place to still, as hard as it is, folks, to say this is God's opinion. That's the only one that matters. Honestly, what if it drove you in a marriage to say, well, my marriage just isn't there. My marriage, it's terrible. Please fix it, folks. I'm begging you to get it right, because Jesus here, through Paul, says this. It is a picture of me in the church. Is your marriage a picture of Christ in the church? Or do we come to a place to pick up rocks because we want to throw at those who are in sin, but we have completely missed it in our own home? What if, gang, what if our marriages were such a picture of what God designed for a husband and wife, to walk in such intimacy and walk into such love, where they legitimately understand what two is to become one. We understand what it is to be naked and unashamed. We understand what it is to function from a place of love and respect. We understand what that means. What if the church actually functioned from that way? Gang, please hear this. I don't believe that we'd be in the same boat we're in today. I believe people would look at marriage and see something that they would desire with Christ. Because that's what Paul says here to the Ephesian church. So what do we do? Church isn't, listen, there's so much. Church has gone into a ridiculous panic over this. Like this is something new. God is God, always has been God. How about the church be the church, folks? You come to a place to function from a place of not anger, not picking sides, not us against them, but a place of brokenness to all sin, and say, man, come on, come to Christ. See what Jesus has in freedom. See what Jesus has and what He's done for you on a cross. What it would be like, folks, if we honestly had such a compassion and brokenness and wept, not in an anger way, but wept in a place of just brokenness for mankind because of sin. Gang, listen, brokenness of mankind started in the Garden of Eden. And when we understand that, it's just been a trail. What about you and I coming to a place to be very diligent in our marriages and in our homes? Could you come to a place to say, my marriage, it's bigger than us? In this place, you're not married yet. How about you set it up in your mindset before you even get married to say, man, God brings that girl, or God brings that guy into my life, and we come to this place to be married. It's bigger than us. Man, there is such a picture that God goes, how are we going? Man, from the very beginning, Renee and I said, we want to win people to Christ because of our marriage. We want to walk in such a way that we'd be salt and light because of our marriage, because we got this from the very beginning. We saw this. It's so much bigger than me and Renee, that people may see something in us to have a desire for Christ. What if? Seriously, what if we pray about this? Just like God tells us to pray in 2 Chronicles. I want you to see this, please. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You know what that means? You know what that means? When we really understand God, I'm going to humble myself. God, your opinion is the only one that matters. Not my opinion, not public opinion, not friends' opinion, not family's opinion. When you come to what God is saying here is, listen, you need to humble yourself. You need to put yourself under me. When you come to a place to confess that I am Lord, you've come to a place to say, I'm humbled before you and I agree. That's what he says. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That you would pursue God. How much have we pursued God, folks? How much have we really sought after God? Isn't it amazing to me that God says, this is how you get me to move. This is how you get me to act, that you would come to a place to seek my face, man, you cry out before me. Here we want God to move in so many different ways. How much have we really sought his face? How much have we really been on our face before him? How much have we really cried out to God to move? Look what he says, my people, call by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wickedness. Again, that's repentance, folks. Jesus said himself, listen, repent, that means turn, change your mind towards sin. Have you changed your mind towards this? You look at this and say, God's opinion is the only one that matters. Turn from their wicked ways. Then, look at this promise. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. And I will hear their land. Gang, how much, please, come on, how much are we praying for the sinner? How much are we really asking God to move in this nation? How much are we really asking God to move locally here in this region? How much are we asking God to move in Allegheny and Pennsylvania and Olean and Bradford? How much are we really begging God to do a work in those who are lost? God, that we would come to a place to humble ourselves, to seek your face, to pray, recognize wickedness, turn from it. And then God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That's what God Almighty says, folks. How serious is that to you and I when we see this and it's such a brokenness? And I love this. I mean, Psalms 139 says this. I'll close with this. Here, this is David. Folks, I love to just honestly, when something like this comes up and there's so much momentum, it's not that we pick up the rocks. It's not like they were angry. It's not like they're enemies. It's not like it's us against them. I come to a place to this scripture. Search me. Know my heart. Try me. Look at what he says. Know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful or wicked way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Because as the church, it can be so easy to look and point and say, oh, man, they're so wrong. Oh, that's a detestable act. Oh, that's unnatural. All true, folks. But what about us to come to a place to just get before God and say, God, that you would search me and that you would know me and that you would try me and that you would know every thought, God. And you come to be real with God and say, God, that you would see if there's any wickedness in me. But God, before I start throwing stones, and before I start pointing fingers, God, is there any wickedness in me? And then God, that you would lead me. God, that I will follow you. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. The big question is, where are you in this morning? Where are you in this? To come to a place and say, as one who truly is a follower of Christ, that I have come to a place to submit myself to you as Lord. Can you lay down your opinion on this? And I know that can be hard at times when we're talking about people that we know and people that we love. just maybe they would see such grace and such compassion in you. Maybe they would see something of God, something of love. What about your marriage this morning? Honestly, I think this is where we have so failed, folks. I do. This is why we started on such a foundation of building strong families. I've seen this for years and years and years as the church. I think we have so failed in the area of marriage. That's why we hit it all the time, folks. Please do whatever it takes. Beg for forgiveness if you have to. Get on your face before your husband. Get on your face before your wife. And really come to a place, say, this is so much bigger than us. There's so much at stake in this. We get back to a place of love and respect. We get back to a place of our home being full of love, joy, and peace. And in that, man, just maybe there will be some that see Christ in this. I say, can I have that? Can I possibly have that intimacy? Could I possibly have a relationship like that? Work it out, folks. It's bigger than us. What if we really seriously did an account in ourselves right here in the presence of God? Do you cry out, God, search me and know me. Try me. God, know my every thought, God. God, reveal to me my wickedness, my wrongdoing. Oh, God, that I may know your grace. God, that I may know that you're a patient, loving God. Oh, God, that you would lead me in the way of everlasting. I will follow you. God, I will follow you. Father, we do pray. God, for those who are so broken and those who are so hurting, God. God, please draw them out. God, that you would open their eyes to truth and to light and to life. All those, God, who are separate from you. God, all those who are just feeling such desperation and such hurt, such brokenness. God, that you would move the church on a one-on-one basis, whatever it takes, God, to bring life and to bring healing, God. To those who are so broken. God, that you'd fill this place with those who really, truly need Jesus. So many need Christ. God, that we not shun them, but God, we say Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Oh, that God has such a love for you that it cost him his own son. God, that would be us, God. Father, please move in this place. God, please move in us. God, that we would stand for truth. Unwavering, unashamed of the gospel. God, we always, always look to your opinion, which is unchangeable. Father, please help us. Father, bless this nation, please. And let the church stand strong with grace, with love, not fear. Not in a panic, not in a worry. God, you created all things, God. You see every inch, God. We will not be afraid. We will not worry. We're not going to panic. We're not going to be in crazy mode. God, we're going to trust you and say, God, that now is the time. Now's the time, God, that you can move. Now's the time, God, we can be brighter than ever. Now's the time, God, we can show more love and more grace than ever before. God, now's the time that you put breath in us. Okay, please, please hear this. you think it's a mistake of all God of all creation put you on the earth at this exact specific time, in this exact moment, maybe, to stand for what is right. That is no mistake. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God that He's just shown up for will be in this season, in this time of history, in this exact moment, there will be Sean Gang. Every one of us, God did that for us to stand in such a time as this, to walk in such a way as this, to say God is the only one that matters. Either we take that and embrace that. Because you created that. God, did you really? Did you really know the exact moment that I would be born? Did you really know the exact moment in history of all that was going to take place? It's no surprise to God. God, that we would do everything in the time that we have to honor you. God, that we do everything in the time that we have, God, to honor you. In our marriages, in our homes, being single, loving the lost, knowing people need Jesus. Everything, God. Finances, God, to honor you in the short time that we have. God, we walk in a way worthy of you, to please you in all respects, bear fruit, every good work, increasing in our knowledge of you, God, being strengthened, powerful strength, according to your glorious might. That would define us, God. God, please be with these people. I ask that you bless us as we go today, God. God, heal our marriages, please. God, heal our children, please. And we look to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I please invite you to seek tonight? Folks, don't miss this tonight. 7 o'clock right here at the church, we are going to worship our Creator and we are going to cry out to God for several different things, and this is one of them. 7 o'clock tonight, folks, please. Please be here. Come on, God bless you. Can we give God thanks, please? Amen.